is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, my colleague and friend and co-host, and we go immediately to Barak Ravid, correspondent, contributing correspondent at Axios based in Tel Aviv, for this headline, which is extremely promising. Biden sends Sullivan to Saudi Arabia in possible push for a major Israel deal. Before we go to the Israel part, I want to stop off at the part about U.S. and Saudi Arabia in conversation for a defense pact. Barak, a very good evening to you. Defense pact, did that exist in the past and then it went away? Has it always been informal? What is the thinking behind a defense pact today in the 21st century? Good evening to you.
Hi, good evening. Hi, John. Hi, Malcolm. Thank you for having me on the show. I think that, you know, U.S.-Saudi relations are nothing new. Okay, it's been a historic relationship, and I think that what is new is that the region is changing. The region is changing. One of these changes is that in Saudi Arabia, after many years of a leadership that was, let's say, a bit older, now you have a crown prince who is running the country and who's in his 30s. And he's changing the country. He's changing the country in many, many ways that we haven't seen, I think, maybe never. And one of the things that the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, wants to see is a change in where U.S.-Saudi relations are. And, you know, let's remember that in the last few years, relations were not good at all over the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington Post columnist, which the U.S. and the U.S. intelligence community said that Ben Salman was responsible for ordering this murder. And Joe Biden, during the campaign, before the election, he said that he will treat Saudi Arabia as a pariah. So this relationship started from a very, very low point. But I think that there were two things that changed Biden's perception of the administration's perception about relationship with Saudi Arabia. Number one was the war in Ukraine and oil prices. And I think that this reminded a lot of people in Washington that the U.S. still needs Saudi Arabia and that the Saudis, as one of the biggest oil producers in the world, are an important partner and ally. And a second thing, which is sort of connected, is that one of Biden's main foreign policy goals is big power competition with China. And the Saudis know it. And they said, if we don't have good relations with the U.S., why don't we go to the Chinese? And I think that at a certain point, something like a year ago, Biden decided that he needs Saudi Arabia to be clearly on the U.S. side in the big power competition. And when you put those two things together, you see a whole different situation. And the Saudis now say to Biden, look, we want to upgrade U.S.-Saudi relations. And one of the things that we need in such an upgrade is some sort of a defense treaty between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. And this defense treaty is mostly needed because of the Iranian threat. And for a long time, the Saudis said, we want an Article 5 commitment, a NATO Article 5 commitment from the U.S., meaning that every attack on Saudi Arabia will be as an attack on the U.S. Obviously, the Biden administration did not want this because it was, you know, going too far. But now they're talking about what I would call an Article 4.5, which is, you know, short of Article 5, but still a big commitment. There are negotiations over this. I think it we'll see in the next few months if those negotiations end with some sort of an agreement.
Malcolm, you have a question.
So
when we look at the demands that Saudi Arabia is making, one of them you just cited, they also talk about a civilian nuclear infrastructure. They are also looking at certain other guarantees. Do you feel that in the current climate, those are things the United States could support? And could Israel support having it? Because we know that in a civilian nuclear program can easily become a military program. It's hard to build in enough safeguards to prevent that. And does this then really lead to more pressure on Saudi Arabia to finally establish the full relations with Israel?
So first, as you said, the Saudis have a list, quite a long list of demands from the U.S. So the defense pact, also unfreezing all sorts of arms deals that the U.S., that the Saudis want to have with the U.S. Also, obviously, legitimizing Mohammed bin Salman again in Washington by him visiting the White House, and the demand for U.S. support of a Saudi civilian nuclear program with uranium enrichment on Saudi soil. And that's that, I think, could be the deal breaker of this whole thing, because the concern that many in the U.S. and in the region, obviously in Israel, have is that once you tell the Saudis, no problem, you can enrich uranium on your soil, this would lead many other countries in the region, like Egypt, like Turkey, to say, you know what, we want this too. And you know, the Saudis are saying, if I'm trying to describe their point of view, the Saudis are saying to the U.S., you allowed Iran to have an enrichment, uranium enrichment program on their soil as part of the JCPOA, the 2015 nuclear deal. So why not give it to us with U.S. Monitoring and inspections? So I think that this is a very sensitive issue. I think that many people in the Israeli security establishment are very concerned. They would want to see really high guardrails and a lot of guarantees, not only in writing, but to see how exactly is the U.S. going to keep tabs on this civilian nuclear program, not for 5 years, but for 50 years. And I think this is the most sensitive and problematic issue.
We have less than a minute, Barak. MBS wants to visit the White House. Does that happen before there are any deals concluded? Does it happen soon?
I don't think so. I think, again, if such a visit will take place, yes, it will take place as part of a grand deal. Everything we just talked about on the U.S.-Saudi bilateral relationship, plus this normalization agreement with Israel, okay? There's a window. There's a window that I think is by, I don't know, February, March next year, before the election campaign consumes Biden's agenda. There's a window. There's willingness on both sides, both the Israeli side and the Saudi side. But I think it is still very complicated, right, and a lot of stars need to align in order to make this happen.
Barak Ravid of Axios, based in Tel Aviv. Malcolm Honlein, I'm John Malcolm.